Will you pray with me? Gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. You are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. This morning's gospel lesson is from Mark, and it's about secrets. Now, when we think about secrets, we tend to think of dark secrets, you know, those things that we might have failed to do or that we never managed to forgive ourselves for, things that happened to us maybe long ago that are too painful to speak of, doubts about people closest to it, maybe doubts about God. There's also good secrets, those things that we keep like treasures because we don't want to share them with the world for fear it might tarnish them. The secrets about the love we feel for certain people, maybe a childhood memory, a smell, a voice. Frederick Buechner is a Presbyterian minister and one of my favorite writers, and he wrote, "We are our secrets. They are the essence of what makes us ourselves. They are the rich loam out of which the world knows us." I ask myself, if this be true, what of Jesus and the Gospel of Mark? Hear these words. A leper came to him, begging him and kneeling. He said to him, "If you choose, you can make me clean." Moved with pity, Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, "I do choose. Be made clean." Immediately the leprosy left him and he was made clean. After sternly warning him, he sent him away at once, saying to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go and show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded as a testimony to them." But he went out and began to proclaim it freely and to spread the word, and began to no longer be able to have Jesus come openly into a town. Jesus had to stay out in the country, and people came to him from everywhere. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I said it's about a secret, but pretty much the whole Gospel of Mark is about a secret. It's referred to as the messianic secret. Because all through the Gospel of Mark, Jesus commands people to keep quiet, not to share what they've experienced with anyone. The messianic secret can be summed up in just a few words. Shh, don't tell. Don't tell anyone. There are, of course, a number of theories about the messianic secret. As I like to share with you, there's a number of theories about everything. Did Jesus see himself as the fulfillment of the Jewish Messiah that he didn't want everyone to know? Because he wasn't a military leader, right? That's what was expected. And in many Jewish minds, the Messiah was linked to a revolution, and maybe he wanted to keep it a secret because he wanted to prevent the beginning of a revolution. Maybe Jesus was trying to control the timing so he could move about Judea without a multitude following him everywhere he went. What about the possibility that healing is good, but saying something about it or spreading it around is not so good? It's actually, some scholars think that Jesus didn't do this, that he did not say, "Don't tell." That Mark wrote that in to the gospel because he wanted to explain why Jesus didn't say more about who he was and what he was there to do. They're all interesting theories, and they are, of course, all theories. But Jesus' command in this gospel and in all through the gospel of Mark, this "shh, don't tell," is confounding no matter where it came from. And it's even more confounding in light of the Gospel of Mark at the end, the first ending. If any of you get out your Bibles once in a while, you get to the end of the Gospel of Mark and you'll see there's actually two endings. The first ending ends with chapter 16, verse 8. And this is what is in most of the earliest copies of the Gospel of Mark. See, the women have come to the tomb, and they see a young man dressed in white robe, and they're alarmed. And he tells them not to be alarmed that Jesus is not there, he is raised. But go tell the disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you. So they went out, and they fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. Now, it seems like the messianic secret seems to have been forgotten right here at the end. Go and tell the disciples. But the story says they don't. Out of fear and terror, they don't tell anyone. Seems like bookends to a story, doesn't it? The very beginning, it's don't tell anyone. At the end of the story, it's go tell everyone. And in both cases, the people did the exact opposite of what they'd been asked to do. The women were stunned coming to the tomb to prepare Jesus' body for burial. The body's now gone, and someone they did not know telling them to deliver this important message. And so what they did was they ran away afraid. A leper out in an open field where the impure ones wandered around, he is aware of his illness and he requests healing. He asks for it. And so Jesus does touch him and speaks and offers him purity. And this is no sentimental compassion, the kind of compassion and passion that is compelling Jesus to reach across and touch an unclean man, the boundary of disease, which then makes Jesus unclean. It's not a simple kind of healing. So Jesus makes one request of the man. Two, go see the priest and be quiet. Shh. Don't tell anyone. And the man doesn't accept either. You got to wonder if at this moment Jesus isn't learning something about his own movement, that he is starting the movement of the kingdom, and this man's reaction shows him what it is all about. See, Jesus asks for the former leper just to observe the law. See, if the priests don't put the stamp of approval on his healing, he cannot go back into society. He cannot go home. We all know that lepers literally had a separate place to live. They could not go within even the city limits. So Jesus says, go, show the priests, prove yourself, and then you'll be able to go home. But in the process, on your way, be very quiet. But the healed man says, the heck with that, and discovers a new liberation and a kingdom that is overcomes the control of the priests. There's one thing that for certain happens here, and that is that the leper becomes the preacher. He begins to proclaim and reveal the world as he is experiencing it. And it's a pronouncement that is so powerful that Jesus can no longer openly enter a town but stays out in the countryside, and people come to him from everywhere. So while Mark's Gospel ends with a commission to tell, given to the followers who don't tell, what might have been called the Great Commission ends up being the Great Omission. On the opposite end is the leper who becomes a preacher, unable to contain himself, denying Jesus' command outright to be silent. So I think of Frederick Buechner, and he says that we are our secrets. They are the essence of what makes us ourselves. So what is this messianic secret? Who is this Jesus? I can't tell you how that all defines who Jesus might be or what the messianic secret was really supposed to do for us. But the leper and the women at the tomb, these bookends of this dramatic, life-changing story might be clues for us. I think we understand both of them. We live in a culture where if you tell somebody that you're a Christian, they might look at you like you're crazy, right? They'll make assumptions about what that means and about what you believe. They'll never ask you. They'll just lump you all together. Your faith has upheld you. It might have healed you. It might have comforted you. I mean, you have lots of questions about it. But you know you should tell someone that through this experience you've had this private, wonderful revelation, and that such knowledge is meant to be shared. But we run away afraid and we tell no one. Or something wonderful happens to you and you experience the divine hand in all of it and you feel like you'll burst with the joy of it, but the people around you are saying, shh, don't tell. We don't do that. Just go to church. Just go see the priest. Just be holy. Just do it on Sundays. That's not how we do things now. But you do it anyway. You say, the heck with the consequences. You have been transformed and you need to tell someone. It seems like the spiritual life are these bookends and all the other reactions in between. None of us know if Jesus really told people to be quiet, and if he did, why he did. I like to think that the women at the tomb told somebody, that they got over their fear and anxiety. I'm pretty sure if they hadn't, we'd all be at brunch right now. I'd have to look for new work. See, in the end, it seemed all the bets were off, and the order to keep the messianic secret had been lifted. He is not here. He is raised. Our leper had it right from the moment he was restored, though. I have got to tell someone. I have got to tell everyone. And Jesus, you cannot come into my life and change it forever and ask me this. If I don't tell, the very rocks will cry out. Amen? All right.